I don't think there should be any reason for alarm right now. We continue to watch.
A new coronavirus strain emerges. It's Tuesday, December 22nd. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, after 10 million infections, India hopes the worst is over. A new Aussie outbreak, another important U.S. election, time for an historic clock, and puppet heaven. It's all on today's VOA Asia. As a second vaccine against the novel coronavirus is being rolled out across the United States ahead of the Christmas holiday, Britain is shutting down out of concern that a new mutation of the virus is highly contagious. Michelle Quinn has more.
A new vaccine against the coronavirus by U.S. biotech firm Moderna is expected to be rolled out across the U.S. this week. But it comes as the nation is seeing record daily numbers of COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus, with 113,000 people currently hospitalized, according to the COVID Tracking Project. Despite six recipients of the Pfizer vaccine experiencing severe allergic reactions, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, U.S. officials say people should get the vaccine when it's available.
It's widely recommended for everyone because we know it's 95% effective, as much as 100% effective at preventing severe disease. And this is the way we end the pandemic, by getting 70 or 80% of the American people vaccinated.
In Britain, news that a mutation of the virus is more contagious has led the country's leaders to institute new restrictions. And France, Germany, and other European countries are blocking travelers coming from Britain. Leaders in the U.S. and Britain stressed the vaccines would be effective against the new strain, which isn't necessarily deadlier.
I don't think there should be any reason for alarm right now. We continue to watch. That's why we do it.
Parts of the U.S., such as the Midwest and the Northern Plains, have reversed significant outbreaks. That progress has been offset by extreme cases in the Deep South, parts of the East, and California. Even with days left before the Christmas holiday, Apple announced that it was temporarily closing all of its stores in California.
We know what to do, and if Americans do these things, we can flatten the curve and save literally tens of thousands of lives if we do these things before we get the vaccine out.
The pandemic, he said, will not be forever, but people must pull together to get through what may be a dark winter. Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
As the coronavirus evolves, so does the story, and we bring you all the details as they emerge. Follow us at VOA Asia on Twitter, Facebook, and at our website, voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Thai actress aiding protests charged with insulting monarchy. Prominent journalist killed in eastern Afghanistan. As COVID-19 numbers drop, Indian capital savors a sense of normalcy. China announces plans to allow international access to giant radio telescope. Pakistan implicitly warns of destructive final battle if attacked by India. Expanded coverage of all these stories and much more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, as well as our website. That's voanews.com. You're listening to VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We're glad you're with us. As India recorded more than 10 million cases of COVID-19, the somber milestone was accompanied by some good news, a massive decline in numbers of daily new infections. Hopes that the worst may be over are reflected in the country's megacities like New Delhi, which has been ravaged by the virus. Anjana Pasricha has a report from the Indian capital.
Older residents prefer to pick up a coffee from a cafe in New Delhi's biggest park and walk to an isolated spot. Younger ones dine on-site, optimistic that the outdoor location makes it safe amid the coronavirus pandemic.
It's been a long time, and me and my wife decided that it's time to, you know, venture out once in a while. And we've heard a lot about this Sundar nursery. Nice sunny day, and it's been a very nice experience.
When I was not stepping out at all, I was more scared. But now, since I'm going out for work and meeting friends and family, so yeah, it's getting better.
That it's in the open, and I can get my pet here.
A sense of normalcy is returning to the Indian capital, which has seen three waves of COVID-19 cases, including one last month. As the number of new infections drops, people are using mass transit and visiting markets and parks. That is good news for this cafe, which opened in November.
The response was something which was not expected. We were stock out on the very evening itself, right, before the, you know, closing hours. That gave us a lot of confidence because of, you know, seeing that people are kind of, you know, accepting venturing out, you know, midst of this pandemic.
Many businesses are waiting for customers to return as residents begin to venture out. At this sporting goods store, less than a dozen customers is an improvement from 3 months ago, but still not near pre-pandemic levels.
Gymming was one thing which kind of surged to an extent which we had not imagined. Like, you know, people were buying 100 kgs of dumbbells, you know, and going and setting up their gyms. So that was there. But of course, since the grounds are not open, so football, cricket, and all the team sports took a hit.
There is a sliver of hope that the pandemic may be waning in the world's second worst hit nation.
When you hear news of vaccine and other things coming and numbers dipping, so yeah, you think that it's going to happen, but I don't think so anytime soon, like maybe 6-7 months.
The scare is very much there, but life has to go on.
In a country where domestic consumers drive the economy, people emerging to dine out and shop will be key to rescuing its recession-hit economy. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
Happening now in Asia, Hong Kong's top court has ruled the government's decision to use colonial-era emergency law to ban face masks at protests last year was both proportionate and legal. The ruling is a blow for democracy supporters who had been hoping the Court of Final Appeal would side with a lower court and overturn the order. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We hope your day is going well, and we're glad you're with us today on VOA Asia. Tougher controls have been put in place as Australia fights to contain a growing COVID-19 cluster in Sydney. Travel from the nation's biggest city is being restricted as authorities race to find the source of 83 recently diagnosed infections. That's up from 68 on Sunday. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
About 250,000 residents in Sydney's Northern Beaches district have been ordered to stay at home until at least Wednesday after a cluster of new COVID-19 infections was discovered. The source of the cluster is not yet known, but officials believe it's likely to have come from a traveller returning from the United States, possibly a member of a flight crew. All Australian states and territories are imposing border controls to keep out travellers from designated coronavirus hotspots in Sydney. There have been mass cancellations of flights from Sydney to Melbourne, which was one of the world's busiest air routes before the pandemic. Other restrictions have been imposed across Australia's biggest city. Singing and chanting at indoor venues is not allowed. Mask wearing is strongly recommended, but not yet mandatory. A decision on whether to extend or relax the disease control measures will be made by the state government Wednesday. New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian says a record number of people in Sydney have come forward for COVID-19 testing.
To have more than 38,000 people come forward in a 24-hour period gives us enormous confidence that the number of cases that have been identified is a realistic position given the number of people that have come forward to get tested. However, this is an ongoing and evolving situation, and we know how contagious the virus is. I appreciate how frustrating it is, and I'd love to be able to tell everybody today what Christmas might look like in New South Wales or the Northern Beaches. And I appreciate the community has been extremely patient, but I also appreciate, I think the community understands our position. We want to make sure we keep people healthy.
An inquiry into a botched hotel quarantine program criticised the Victorian state government for failing to do proper analysis of the plan. It found that security breaches triggered a deadly second wave of infections that killed more than 800 people, which is the vast majority of Australia's coronavirus fatalities. Private security guards were put in charge of Victoria's quarantine hotels without adequate training in infection control. The inquiry blamed systemic government failings for the disaster that followed. In May and June, COVID-19 spread from returned travellers to hotel staff and then, with devastating consequences, into the community. Hundreds of people died, and the city of Melbourne was ordered into Australia's toughest and longest coronavirus lockdown. The cluster of cases in Sydney is a blow to Australia's record of mostly containing the virus. It's detected 28,170 coronavirus cases since the pandemic began. 908 people have died, according to Australia's Department of Health. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see with links to find them easily. With VOA Asia, you can also follow radio program host VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. Japan's cabinet approved a ninth straight increase in the nation's defense budget as the government bolsters funding to develop longer-range cruise missiles and stealth fighters to counter potential threats from China and North Korea. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As we continue with VOA Asia, Joe Biden is continuing with his preparations to become the next U.S. president. The president-elect will face many challenges from the moment he is inaugurated on January 20th. His ability to pass legislation remains an unknown and hinges on the southern state of Georgia as its voters head to the polls in January to decide two U.S. Senate runoff races. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson reports on the election that will determine the balance of power in the U.S. Congress for the next 2 years.
President-elect Joe Biden still on the campaign trail.
Well, we've got a lot of work to do, and I plan to get to work right away doing it. I need two senators from this state. Want to get something done.
Supporting Senate Democratic candidates Reverend Raphael Warnock.
Stand up in this defining moment in American history.
And John Ossoff.
The whole nation's eyes are on Georgia, y'all.
Both men will need to defeat Republican Senators David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler so that Democrats can gain control of the Senate with the tie-breaking vote of Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. If they lose, Republicans will keep the majority, and Biden will have much less political power on Capitol Hill.
The fact is that on both sides, both chambers, the margins are historically small, so they can't afford to lose any votes from either caucus to push legislation forward. It's going to be a tough battle.
Because the November elections failed to produce outright winners in Georgia, those runoff races have national attention.
Georgia is going to determine, ultimately, the course of the Biden presidency.
But the stakes are high on both sides.
And I think God has put us in this position right now to stand up and tell the world what America's going to be for the next 50 to 100 years.
The Republican candidates pledging they will be the firewall against a Democratic White House and House of Representatives.
I know we're going to hold the line because no one wants the radical agenda of the left.
President Trump rallied for Perdue and Loeffler while falsely claiming he beat Joe Biden in Georgia.
It's rigged. It's a fixed deal.
Those claims of fraud could discourage the president's supporters from turning out to vote.
You know, sit home and say everything is rigged. It's not worth participating in the process. We'd rather pray than vote because, you know, this is a sham. That hurts the Republicans' chances.
A hand recount certified Biden the winner in Georgia by less than 12,000 votes. A close margin that shows the historically Republican state will not be easy to flip.
In order for the Democrats to be successful in January, you have to have maybe centrist or moderate Republicans crossing over.
Early voting is already underway ahead of Election Day on January 5th, 2021. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
How to stay healthy. Wash your hands with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. Scrub thoroughly for 20 seconds. If you cannot wash your hands, use a hand sanitizer. Taking these steps can prevent not only coronavirus, but also colds and flu and other viruses.
Now on VOA Asia, a beloved meeting spot for generations of New Yorkers, the Waldorf Astoria Clock has recently undergone a meticulous restoration, and it's on view at the New York Historical Society. Vladimir Lensky has the story, narrated by Anna Rice.
Meet me at the clock. For over a century, New Yorkers have used the Waldorf Astoria Clock as a meeting place. Displayed in the lobby of the Waldorf Astoria Hotel, the legendary clock is now on view at the New York Historical Society as the hotel undergoes a major renovation. The clock was a gift from England's Queen Victoria and made its public debut at the Chicago World's Fair in 1893.
Well, I think there were quite a number of clocks that were shown at that exposition. And I think the technology and the mechanics behind clocks have always fascinated people. I mean, there have been points of fascination for centuries.
Businessman John Jacob Astor bought the clock for an undisclosed sum with the intention of making it the centerpiece of his brand new luxurious hotel, the Waldorf Astoria on Fifth Avenue in New York. When the hotel moved, the grand clock moved with it. The clock has seen politicians, royalty, and even played a role in movies ranging from The Great Gatsby to an iconic scene in Scent of a Woman when Al Pacino dances beneath the famous timepiece. Queen Victoria's gift represented the cementing of an alliance between America and England, and that relationship is reflected on its panels.
It's clear that the goal was to present a cross-section of important American men dating from basically the time of the American Revolution up until 1893. So I think that there was an attempt by the British to really provide an example of different types of statesmen. And they're not all presidents. Benjamin Franklin is included, who had importance to the history of the United States.
Under the silver portraits are what were then recent historical achievements in the U.S. There is the Brooklyn Bridge, the most impressive engineering construction at the time, right next to bicycle races.
Many of the sports that you see represented on the clock relate to different organized sports that were popular during the period. Bicycling, for example, became very, very popular in the 1890s. And late 1880s. So that makes it's perfectly logical that those kinds of sports or that bicycling in particular would be represented.
In the 21st century, the clock's mechanism can hardly mesmerize the public the way it did more than a century ago. But its role today is different, as every inch of the magnificent artifact, be it a wooden turret decorated with gold or a beautiful silver medallion, can be read as a history book of what were seen as achievements 127 years ago. For Vladimir Lensky in New York, Anna Rice, VOA News.
The U.S. National Capitol, Washington, D.C., has just one puppet store. It's called Puppet Heaven, and it's been around for almost a quarter of a century. The place sells all things puppets, and the owner is happy to give customers a brief performance or a quick lesson on how to use their new purchase. Maxim Moskalkov tries his hand at a bit of puppetry.
Where's your feet?
Oh.
Look at those shoes. Those are some big shoes.
Yeah, it's so expensive.
Wow.
You don't see it.
They're soft. Very soft.
You have to go to Italy to to see it.
That's how puppet store owner Alban Adulami usually greets his customers. Dan Greco is a frequent one. He has bought many puppets here for his grandchildren and nieces, and even one just for himself.
My elevator lets off right down the hall here, so I'm constantly walking by it literally every day. He has such a great variety of puppets, and he's constantly changing them out, so you never get bored walking by. I'm always walking by here, I never get bored.
Benin-born Adulami is a professional puppeteer. In the 1980s, he used to work at a Benin TV station. In the 1990s, he came to Washington at the invitation of the Benin Embassy in the U.S.
I gave many puppet show at the Reef Center in D.C., and I went to the Olympic in 1996. I was invited by the Atlanta Committee for the Olympic, and so for the puppetry. So I gave puppet show there. And during that time, I have the idea, since I saw that in America, they like to do things for their children. I say, I'm going to open a puppet store so I can have puppets from all over the world.
The store attracts customers not just from the Washington area, but from around the country. And though it's easy to buy a puppet online, it's not that simple to learn how to control it. Adulami says customers often bring kids to his store so that he can give them a lesson or two.
They are just like my children, you know, I play with them. And I enjoy, show customer, especially children, and how to use it. Because the children are the future. So this used to be a type of art in Europe, in Africa, all over the place. But it's kind of dying. You don't see too many marionette, like everywhere with all those technology, you press boot button and something make noise. So you don't see too many puppets. So that's why I keep this piece. I say, no matter what happened, I'm going to keep it.
Puppet Heaven is a place where you can find it all, from traditional marionettes to glow and finger puppets, rod puppets, and the ones from shadow shows. Even ventriloquist dummies.
All puppets have stories to teach children. Whether police, whether nurse, whether all kind of puppets have a role in the society, you know, so to teach children.
Adulami doesn't know how many puppets live in his store today. They come and go, and their number changes all the time. But one thing never changes. Adulami's love for what he does. Maxim Moskalkov for VOA News, Arlington, Virginia.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find us online, Facebook at VOA Asia, Twitter at VOA Asia, Instagram, and YouTube as well. And we're on our website, voanews.com, where you can find our full-length 25-minute programs to download or stream. We thank you for joining us today, as we thank our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a terrific day ahead. Be safe. Be well.